Montana State University Billings welcomes you to this internet broadcast of Yellow Jacket Sports.
Welcome to the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show. Ken Adablu talking with the head coach for the Montana State Billings men's basketball team, George Pfeiffer. The Yellow Jackets coming off a 74-67 win over St. Martin's. Boy, you want to, you know, it's a cliche, but talk about a tale of two halves. You know, the first half, you shoot 33%, 10 for 30. Second half, 14 for 20. Go to the free throw line 18 times, make 16 of them. You're down by 11 at the break. And, you know, I don't know how else to put it. I think when you take a look at that game, I think we saw some of the best basketball we've seen from the Jackets this year, at least from my standpoint. And frankly, there in the first half, probably saw some of the worst.
Well, you know, when you go back and watch the tape, sometimes as coaches we have this preset mindset that, you know, we just did that horribly and this horribly. We had one possession where two guys tripped over each other and fell down and they got a layup. We missed a pile of good shots. You know, when we're missing them, I'm going, why aren't we doing this? Why aren't we doing that? But when I sat down on Sunday and watched that, you know, Derek Wright was at the rim three times in a 4 minute period of time, and I think he double clutched it and pumped it, and he didn't need to do that. But those are makeable baskets. You know, we had a whole bunch of guys who have hit those shots, and in fact, they hit those same shots in the second half, and we're all thinking that's wonderful. So I did think it affected our energy a little bit for a while defensively. That we can't have happen, but. You know, we miss shots, and when you miss shots, things don't look very good. We gave them life, and then I thought we came back and snatched it away.
See, that's what concerned me, though, coming into the break. And frankly, I was thinking 11 points as poorly as you shot that first half, the way you struggled offensively. I thought really an 11-point deficit wasn't that bad. What concerns me is when you're, you know, when things are going bad or maybe they're beating you defensively on certain sets or you're having troubles offensively on sets, you think, well, those are some things that you can kind of improve at the half, you know, make some adjustments. But when a team's not shooting well, sometimes you just think, oh, Lord, is it just going to be one of those nights? What made the difference? Because I don't know that you were getting that many more better shots in the second half than you were the first. Certainly got to the free throw line a lot better.
We were more competitive. We had a more competitive mindset. We talked about it before. I think, you know, you go in the gym on Saturday afternoon with your buddies and you start playing, you know, a rat ball game against some strangers. You make them all because it's your buddies. It's Saturday afternoon and we're going to go out and kick some butt. And I don't think we approached the game, unfortunately, with that mentality. And that's what we talked about at halftime. You know, we're not playing as competitors. That's what we talked about it before the game. You know, the importance of coming in with a competitive spirit and a competitive mentality, which this group seems to have all the time. But on the other hand, you know, shame on us for putting ourselves in that situation. But on the other hand, you have to give this group a lot of accolades for coming back. I mean, this is a team that's won 11 basketball games that we're playing, has arguably one of the best players in the conference. And in the second half, we come back and we go, we outscore them 47-29 and really seize the game in about an 8 minute period of time. Go ahead.
I was just going to say I want to talk about some of those adjustments you made at the half. I think one that was particularly important, I want to talk about that, why you decided to make that adjustment, for that matter, why it worked, on the second part of the Coach's Show with George Pfeiffer.
Sign up with Sign Pro. Let the people know.
Have you seen the full color vehicle wraps in Billings? The professionals at Sign Pro can design your vehicle graphics from one color to a full color wrap. Together with Sign Pro, you can create a visual impact for your business. For 17 years, Sign Pro has produced top quality, cutting edge signage. So go ahead, create an impact for your business. Sign up with Sign Pro today, 259-3200.
Sign up with Sign Pro.
Welcome back to the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show. Ken Adablu talking with George Pfeiffer, the head coach for the Montana State Billings men's basketball team, coming off a 74-67 win over St. Martin's. Again, we mentioned behind at the half, 38-27, only 27 points scored in the first half, and then, boy, in the second half, 47 points on 14 of 20 shooting from the floor. You might look at that and say, boy, they didn't put the ball up many times. Well, yeah, they did. They went to the free throw line 18 times, so you take a lot of those away. Obviously, you were getting some scores. scoring opportunities. He hit 16 of those 18 free throws, but perhaps the biggest change in the game, despite the great offensive performance, may have been the zone defense. You started out with the zone in the first half, and that really, or second half, really gave St. Martin some trouble. Why did you decide to make that adjustment?
Well, I thought, when we went to the zone at the end of the first half, it seemed to be effective. We at least whittled away in about a 3 or 4 minute period of time. We'd whittled five, six points off of where we were at. And so when we came out and they were missing shots, I mean, you know, they were in position, but they were missing shots. They missed a lot of shots against the zone to start the second half. When we kept telling our guys at different timeout situations that, you know, hey, they're going to make a few of these, but we're staying with this for the long haul. And it certainly panned out for us. I think they were 22% from three in the second half. So and it gave us an option to protect certain things that we wanted to protect. And I thought the thing that was most effective for us is that we competed rebounding wise out of that. There were some long rebounds, and yeah, they got some offensive rebounds in the against our zone. But I thought for the most part we got in and gladiated, and then was able for us out of that zone to create transition opportunities.
Yeah, see, that's what surprised me about it. And I love a man-to-man defense, and one of the reasons I love a man-to-man is it's so oftentimes it opens up things for your offense, you know, steals and things of that nature. The zone defense, to me, is oftentimes very effective from a defensive strategy standpoint, but oftentimes it sort of slows down the game, and it certainly did for St. Martin's. They give them credit. They were very patient. They just weren't real effective against it. But oftentimes it's difficult to get that transition game going. From a zone, how were you able to do that? Because oftentimes it seems like it's just the opposite that happens to me anyway.
Well, there were some possessions early against the zone where they came down, felt comfortable with the shot that they got early in their offense, and they took it. Well, that creates a long rebound, and if we snatch that long rebound, that means we're 60% of the way from our rim versus maybe 75% of the way from our rim, and so that race, if you have the ball, and we have some guys that we think are fairly athletic, they can get from point A to point B in a hurry. You've got people set up in positions on the floor through your zone defense, so as you break out, you know, there's a wing on one side and a wing on the other side. And so it gives you zone defenses will give you a lot more natural flow into your transition game than sometimes man-to-man where there's two or three perimeter players on one quadrant of the floor. So, you know, all those things were good. I mean, we had to stop them from scoring because of the hole that we'd created, and we needed to shoot a better field goal percentage, both from the free throw line and from three and from the field, and we did all four of those things. And so, and they came back and whacked some threes and made it interesting, and I thought, again, you know, we lost a lot of games that were really close last year, and so far, knock on wood, we've won some of those games this year.
The thing that fascinates me about basketball is you got 40 minutes of ball, and it's amazing how a split second, I think, can make so much difference. I thought to start off the second half, and, you know, with all the big plays that came after that, it might seem almost like a little point, but I thought Losh's three-pointer to start off the second half, it was just like all of a sudden the team just said, okay, here we go. I just thought that was a really important bucket, and I thought it really set the tone. And, again, there were a lot of great plays after that. Mike McCrary's tip-in was one of the more athletic plays I've seen since I've been watching college basketball here at MSUB. But I thought that three-pointer to start the half was huge.
Well, you know, something that we do because we play 3-on-2, 2-on-1 almost every day, and so he got a shot out of something that we do. So you have to feel good about that. I thought the best one was when we ran a set and he came across the top of the key and he shot the ball and the ball went up. I've sat on the other side of that when the other team has shot it more than I want to count, where the other team's shot hit the rim, went up in the air, and it seemed to suspend in frozen motion, and then, you know, fluttered down through the hole. I thought that three was huge. Yeah. That was kind of like a, hey, we're okay, type of situation. But, you know, when you only missed six shots in the second half, there was lots of people who contributed and made shots. I thought DeVell got the ball to the rim, for us really well. McQuarrie, you know, I think he had his best game as a Yellow Jacket. When he makes up his mind to become a rebounder, really good things happen for us. So for him to come away with a 15-10 night, and I would agree with you. I think the tip in was at a point where the game was starting to become maybe more vulnerable again. And I would think if I was on the other side of that, you know, if somebody comes flying down and sticks their armpit on the rim and then tips the ball in, that was a huge play for us. It was kind of like we're not going to be denied.
It was very interesting. If you take a look at the numbers, you mentioned DeVell ends up with 17 points, 6 rebounds, 8 assists. Good all-around numbers. Lasha was your leading scorer with 18. I think 14 of those came in the second half. McQuarrie, what a night for him. 15 points, 10 rebounds. And let's not forget Brad Hodge. He gets 14 points and 7 rebounds, but the number that really stands out is DeAndre Chambers. Only 2 for 9 from the floor, 1 for 5 from 3-point range, 2 for 3 from free throw line, ends up with 7 points. I'm not calling him out, but what I'm pointing out is every time I've seen, that's the first probably poor offensive game I've seen him play from a shooting standpoint. He has been so consistent for you to find a way to win when your leading scorer is struggling a little bit. Again, that's something where it, you can tip your hat to.
You know, when you talk about leading scorer, you take a look at it, take a look at our scoring, and our scoring goes from 14 to nine point something. And so inside of that, we have different guys step up and become the leading scorer every night. Now, he is more consistent, and I think when you say that, I think you hit that right on the head. He's a more consistent scorer for us. And when you go back and look at the shots he had some wide-open threes. He had some pull-up jump shots. He had some leaners that he normally makes, and those shots didn't go in the hole for him. Now, on the other side of the coin, Brad Hodge, who hasn't been as consistent, he comes out and puts in a really good shift for us with, 6 of 10 shooting, all the rebounds that he grabs and, shots that he blocked. And so, what we really need to find ourselves doing as we start to, as we talk in the next segment, is we need to get all the pieces on the same page for 40 minutes. And that's what we're going to have this coming weekend.
All right, good enough. We will talk about that coming up. They're on the road this weekend as they'll take on Northwest Nazarene and Seattle Pacific. A couple of tough games for the Yellow Jackets. We'll talk about that on the third part of the Coach's Show.
At Perkins Restaurants, breakfast is a specialty. Breakfast is a tradition. Breakfast is served all day. But best of all, breakfast is just the beginning. Sure, you can get big fluffy omelets and golden buttermilk pancakes, but we also serve juicy burgers and mile-high melts, bread bowl salads, and hearty dinners like jumbo shrimp, grilled top sirloin steak, homestyle pot roast, even butterball roast turkey and dressing. At Perkins, we set the menu, but you pick the time. And no matter what time of day it is, you'll find a comfortable, relaxed atmosphere, friendly staff, and your own pot of coffee right at your table. We even have our own bakery with fresh baked pies like luscious chocolate French silk and caramel apple. For all your favorites served all day long. Now there's a Perkins right nearby. Stop in real soon. Perkins. Breakfast is just the beginning.
Stop by either Billings location and enjoy breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Perkins is a proud sponsor of Yellow Jacket Athletics.
Welcome back to the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show. Ken Adelblue talking with George Pfeiffer. Okay, 2-1 in the Great Northwest Athletic Conference, 8-4 overall. You've certainly taken care of business here at home. You've split on the road against the Alaska schools, but boy, this is another tough road trip. Northwest Nazarene and Seattle Pacific, and particularly Nazarene, maybe a little up and down, but they seem to be one of those teams that can just about beat anybody on any given night.
Well, Northwest Nazarene, Coach Hilsey's a really good friend of mine. He just had his 500th win a couple weeks ago. They're going to be really well organized, really well prepared. They really push the basketball. I mean, in the half court, they're going to pound it down your throat with, Barkall and, Gio and those guys, because those guys are just big, huge. I mean, 6'10", 250 pounds. I mean, this guy's... He's been the MVP, Barkall is, or the all-tournament selection and everything that he's done so far this year. I mean, he is a load. He's one of the premier post players in our league. And then on the perimeter side, Drew Essinger was the GNAC Player of the Week. If you remember, we played St. Martin's in the Player of the week before we played Pools. So we keep running into guys that are really hot when we go out and play them. So Northwest Nazarene really pushes the basketball. Tremendous road swing for them. I mean, they took the same St. Martin's team that we played and then beat them by 17. So they've got great balance. Tremendous, you know, in our video clips the other day, we were showing, you know, their shooting on the perimeter. And, I mean, you know, Drew Essinger is shooting 51% from three. And he takes a fair share of him. His brother at the point is shooting 45%. The two guys coming off the bench, you know, they're shooting, you know, right at 45 and 50%. So, I mean, they can really shoot the ball. Now, on top of that, they've got inside presence. So if you start to scurry around and help down when they kick the ball back out, we're talking about people who make them. So that's very scary. And they're more athletic than they were in the past. They play at a faster pace. And then when you get done with that nightmare, you're going to Seattle Pacific. And they're, you know, I can't remember where they're ranked right now, whether 15th or 14th in the country. And so, you know, the Seattle Pacific basketball team, they're undefeated in conference. They're really, really good. They run the swing, which is kind of a rub cut, flex cut type of an offense. They've got everybody back off the team that was runner up in the West region last year, except for one player. you know, my sleep pattern this week has not been good.
I would imagine when you take a look at a game like that, I suppose the lesson to be learned from last week's game against St. Martin's is 20 minutes of great basketball isn't going to be enough, I suspect, on the road against Northwest Nazarene and Seattle Pacific. Again, you alluded to it at the end of the last segment, but you probably really need to have 40 minutes of really good, solid basketball.
Well, there's no question. And you could play 40 minutes of really good basketball in these games and not get her done.
Sure.
I mean, you could lay it all out. That's the scariest part. You could lay it all out and play really good basketball and come up a few points short in both of these contests. You know, the other night, Alaska Anchorage is playing at Central, and Central basically has the game in tow with, you know, a couple, 3 seconds to go, up one. They hit their free throw. Anchorage inbounds the ball. Ball gets knocked away. 0.4 seconds. The guy from Anchorage tips a ball in, or gets fouled, goes to the free throw line, makes them both, and wins it. So, I mean, you know, Central can say that for 39 minutes and 59.6 seconds, they controlled the game. Well, in this conference right now, I mean, we've won 75% of our games against other Division II competition. I mean, these teams are really good. I mean, and they have really, really good players. I mean, this conference is way better, in my opinion, than last year's conference. I mean, just it's not even close. And from A to Z, it's better. You know, we're better. There's no question that we're better. We got better players. We got better athletes. Our biggest challenge is consistency. And the thing that we talked, you know, the thing that we've been really harping on with our kids, and it's maybe come more, you know, crystal clear to me, is that every night we play is a playoff game. Every night we play is a playoff game. We have no postseason play. And so if we want to affect our abilities to play in postseason, you know, as scary as it sounds, we need to go on the road in this road swing and find some success.
All right. Coming up on Thursday, they'll be in Napa, Idaho against Northwest at Nazarene, and then they'll take on Seattle Pacific on Saturday. Their next home game, part of three straight games at home, will be Thursday, January 28th against Central Washington at 7:30 at Altarowitz. Coach George Pfeiffer, congratulations on the nice comeback against St. Martin's. Best of luck to you this week.
Thank you so much.
And the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show. Thanks, everyone.
The Yellow Jackets and Montana State University thank you for logging on and listening to Yellow Jacket Sports.